Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Do you know what I like? I like topics that have a point.
Oh, fuck me.
So, welcome to the Cubby House, episode 11, where good taste comes to die and dead baby jokes thrive.
Yeah, even funnier considering it's episode 12.
No, this is episode 11.
No, it's not.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's episode 11.
It is episode 12.
Why do I feel like I'm in a Warner Brothers cartoon? Rabbit season, duck season, and yeah, this is really awkward. It's 11.5. Yes.
11.5, that'll do. And it is a warm, balmy day in Melbourne, or at least in the Dungeon Studios. And it's been a while since all three of us have been in the studios.
It has been a while.
I know, I'm just going moist from all the excitement of getting back together.
Okay, I'm moving away from you now.
Yeah.
I've only just come back from Queensland. I'm still dehumidifying.
Ah, yeah. Awesome. Aircon's great. I love aircon.
So from between me and you, I'd like to send a big hug to you two and to the rest of our listeners.
Why, thank you, Jack. And I send a big hug to you too, Ryan and Jack.
And I send big hugs to everybody who wants them and stuff you who doesn't.
Free hugs from, yeah, Ryan.
Exactly.
It's too good to pass on.
Well, exactly. You know, God.
Got to get it from the source.
Well, okay, sure. Why not? Go crazy. Throw your panties on the stage.
Woohoo. Gave it some drones.
Things have been a bit of a mess for us in the past week, but compared to some other people out there, particularly around the northern areas of Victoria, they've had a really rough time compared to us. So we three are okay. But on the 9th of February, 8th, 7th? I'm looking for a date.
I'm not sure what it is, but
it,
yes,
was this. It was the Saturday, because it is now being called the Black Saturday, which is marking the day in which we had a most horrendous heat wave ever, but thus caused the bushfires, which have taken down a good percentage of our rural country of Victoria.
And we just want everybody to know out there that we are thinking of you all. You are in our thoughts and our prayers, and you know, we're very sorry for what's happened to you, and we're very glad that you've made it out alive, and we hope for the future that you can rebuild. We thank all those people that are chipping in to help out with donations, with money and food items and whatnot, but it was a very, very sad day for all of Australia. I think the whole country stopped, pretty much.
I think that it's in the spirit of Australia that from the ashes that new life will grow, that new life will prevail. Because one of the curious things about Australian fauna is that it actually requires heat for the seeds to pop open and to regrow. So in the spirit of the phoenix, I hope to the communities out there that they too can rise from the ashes. The spirit of generosity has been quite astounding. I mean, we're looking close at $100 million in private donations. So that's something that doesn't happen very often.
No. But on another note,
speaking of fires,
we have a letter, you know, people saying that this is actually a joyous occasion, that, you know, that we're dying and that things are being burnt. And we wanted to send our thank you out to the Westboro Baptist Church. We were actually going to do some sort of script about something along these lines, but now we don't have to because it's been done.
We figured this was funny enough. So, for those that don't know the Westboro Baptist Church, and that's three of you, I'm probably, it's probably considered slander, but a bunch of religious wankers from deep Christian south of the United States who decide that whenever anything bad happens at all to anyone, it's God's retribution. Mm. And you know what? These bushfires, which have killed around about 208 people confirmed so far, it's just God's way of getting his word across.
Mm. His way of thinning out the herd, basically.
The Westboro Baptist Church has sent out this press release, which I'm going to share with you today, and it's titled, God Hates Australia.
God, that's catchy.
I know, and in the most catchiest way, I think we should sing it in our national anthem.
Wow. Well, why not? I mean, we don't even know the words to our own national anthem, so now we can.
God hates Australia, the land of sodomite damned. The fag-infested land of Australia is burning. The fire of God's wrath is sending hundreds of filthy Australian beasts straight to hell. We at the Westboro Baptist Church are rejoicing and praying.
I think you should give it your dance. Yeah, okay.
All right. We at the Westboro Baptist Church are rejoicing and are praying for the dear Lord to burn down many more Australians alive.
We have warned Australia, in retaliation for our faithful gospel preaching, when the vile Australian actor Heath Ledger died, Australia vilified us. Fag-run Australia sent one of their dirty bastards to interrupt our religious street preaching service by sexually molesting our member,
videographed
the incident, and then ran it on YouTube for thousands to see it around the world. Australia has thus desecrated the sacred worship of the Temple of God at Westboro Baptist Church.
And it is written, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
First chapter of Corinthians 3:17.
All the false prophets of Australia, indeed, all the false prophets of the world praying for Australia, will only hurt you more. In fact, will only further enrage God at Australia. Do we have a God at Australia? I thought it was only God at me.
Maybe that's his email address, god@australia.com.au.
Don't you stupid Aussies get it? Australia is doomed. Nothing and nobody can help you. You have sinned willfully after you have received the knowledge of the truth, and under those circumstances there remaineth, it's still in circulation that word, no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries.
Book of Hebrew 10, chapter 10, text 16, 27. And further in for better, blah, 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 whatever.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, do they know what fire is? Because I know we're fairly experienced with fire in Australia. Do these people even know what it is past a candle?
Yes. I mean, that little place on the corner called California seems to go up in smoke every so often.
Maybe God hates California too.
God hates everything according to these people. There's nothing that God likes.
But the funny thing is, there's only about 5 passages written for fags, right?
Hmm.
Yet there's like 267 passages written for the heterosexuals. Does that just imply that although God loves homosexuals, that the straights need more attention?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, Jack?
I think it just means that heterosexual people need more supervision.
Mm.
Yeah, when we got fruit given to us from a serpent, we made an apple martini. When they got a piece of fruit, they shagged. Who does that? God.
Mm. But the thing is with these people that, well, they start off with God hates fags, which is one of their most famous campaigns. But they're also saying that they were at the scene of 9/11 after it happened, saying it's retribution. And after Hurricane Katrina, retribution. And after the tsunami that happened in Southeast Asia, retribution.
But maybe God just doesn't like really tall buildings that come up to him. Or maybe he doesn't like Mardi Gras, which I believe takes place at New Orleans. Or maybe he doesn't like fake labels that you can buy at Bali, which is why he wiped them out by the tsunami. Maybe they're right. Maybe God, you know, even though he created everything, and maybe he just doesn't like it. He's over it now.
Well, maybe God has a bad aim, and yet they come in after all the woeful has been done and say, ha ha, you missed us again.
Well, I know that sometimes when I play Sims and I get really bored, I'll put people into the house and I'll burn them and watch them die, and I think it's really funny. Maybe that's what God's doing.
I don't know how to respond to that. It's quite possibly the most blasphemous thing that has ever come out of your mouth, I think. And I like it.
We're all talking from our own perspectives. My God might not be the same as your God, nor anybody else's God on this earth. And I think it's something's got to have some sense of humor. If God didn't have a sense of humor, I don't think we would either. Because if we're supposedly built in his image, then, yeah, why are we doing some of the things we do?
Well, the thing that I kind of don't get is that with the entire, this mismatch between the creation in theory and the creation in practice, I mean, you've got a God which has created people about 6,000 years ago, who has given people sexual pleasure, but it's not for you to use until you're married in a heterosexual relationship. That you've got these feelings, and I know you want to use them, but there's a proper context for you to use it.
So did Adam and Eve get married before they did it, or...?
Well, Tiffany wasn't around back then, so they couldn't buy bling. So maybe they didn't know what a ring was, so they thought, oh, this apple that this snakes guy is giving us, maybe they were like, oh, this is the actual bling that we're using, so we'll take it, but you're not supposed to wear it, you're supposed to eat it. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there, like, how long ago?
And that's the thing. You're exactly right. You weren't there. And the funniest thing is, a lot of people are making a lot of assumptions. Even in the rewritings of the Bible, it keeps getting changed. If it's supposed to be a definitive article, why does it keep changing? I'm just now at that point where I believe in the Bible, it's, okay, part of it may be true, but the other part of it, a man can make a mistake. What's not to think that we've been believing a mistake all our lives through the Bible?
What really upsets me about the Bible is that most religious people, and I mean, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people out there that are Christians and Catholics and whatever religion that they choose to be, or what, you know, they're born into or whatever. The only thing that they take away by reading the Bible a lot of the time, or what we always just always hear about, is the fact that God hates fags. That's what it boils down to. Now, there's all sorts of other things in there. Like, for example, you can't grow one crop next to another crop. You can't wear clothing which has two different types of material in it.
By polyester.
Yes, exactly. If you eat shellfish, you go to hell. Why aren't we hearing about these? Why is it God hates a fag-run Australia? Why isn't it God hates all-you-can-eat seafood restaurants? Why is it we only hear about the fag thing? I don't get it.
Nor do I.
Jack, do you believe in God?
No.
You don't?
This might sound completely wanky, which it probably is, but I describe myself as an existentialist.
Ooh, and for those people playing at home?
For the people playing at home, it means that I know that I personally exist, and I know that I personally make my own reality. But I also know that the truth is out there somewhere, but it's up to me personally to find that particular truth, whatever it may be.
So
no organized religion is going to have every single one of the answers.
So essentially you are your own God.
No, I'm not my own God.
No, he means that I'm just in charge of his own fate.
Yes.
I'm just in the pursuit of truth.
So you're Mulder from X-Files.
Yes, the truth is out there. I mean, this universe of ours is so grand and so huge and so mysterious to us that why not ask all the questions? Why not say why? The truth is out there. And if that happens to include aliens, well, I'm open to that. There might be aliens out there. Maybe we were created by aliens.
And
honey,
close.
There's only one thing that's out there right now, and it's not aliens, okay?
But to the Westboro Baptist Church's credit, they are coming an awful long way to come to Australia. That's a lot of effort. And when you're trying to organise like 90 cousins to come together on a plane to Australia to protest at the National Day of Mourning, that is, I think that's on the 22nd of February of 2009, for those listening in the future times or the past times. I'm not judgmental. That they are going to stand outside Rod Laver Arena and protest during the benefit concert for the victims. Now, I'm kind of thinking to myself, hey, they can get themselves over to Australia just for the sake of sticking it to some people that they have never met that's halfway across the world, and I can't get my ass over to Canada. Is there just no justice in the world? In fact, by that reason alone, I refute the existence of God. So in conclusion, the Westboro Baptist Church, good, and probing and making fun of institution is good. Mm. And, wait, did I say Westboro Baptist Church good?
Yes, yes you did.
Oh.
Good for burning, yes.
Yeah. I would like to apologise for my last statement. I was drunk.
No, you were sarcastic. That's what you were. You were using.
I was drunk and sarcastic.
There you go.
Well, hang on. You're not from Canada yet, so we can't blame that.
Oh, true. Sorry.
Boom, boom.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, I'm close.
Sacrilege never felt so good. No, ladies and gentlemen, there has been a little internet meme going around called Two Facts and a Lie. And the way that you play this game, I want a fanfare, Cookie, give me a fanfare. That was a nice fanfare.
You give good fanfare. Van hair.
Van hair.
I'll rewind that. You give good fan. You do good stuff.
And the way you play the game is that you give out three facts about yourself, and two of those facts you give out will be the truth, and the last one is a lie, but not necessarily truth, truth, lie. Mm. And what you've got to do, our dutiful listeners, is try and figure out which one is a lie amongst the truths.
Mm.
So, Cookie, your two truths and a lie.
Number A.
Number A.
Number A? That's a lie. There, straight away. Next.
Okay, number A.
That's another lie.
Hey,
you suck at this game.
Point A. I walked into an adult store at the age of 16, my first adult store at the age of 16, without getting asked for ID. Point B is I lost my oral virginity at the age of 17. And point C was I was very fearful of being a bear until I got fat enough and started being labelled a bear. And then 2 years after, I accepted that label as an identity.
I think it's B.
I think it's B. Is it B? We're locking it in, Eddie.
That I lost my oral virginity at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't tell us. Those are our picks.
Okay.
So what you got to do to play the game is send in your emails to podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au, or you can send in your own call to the clubby line.
Clubby line.
I like saying the clubby line. To 9005-PLAY if you're locally, 03905-PLAY if you're in Australia, plus 61039005-PLAY if you're international. And just use the Skype line. So, my turn. Number one, when I was 8 years old, I stole my mother's wedding rings to play Captain Planet and lost one of the rings. Number two, when I was about 16, I went into a Christian bookstore and bought a book about how great abstinence was for about $25. And I stopped masturbating for a month, and it was the most explosive finish ever. Ooh. And number three, I use a Mac.
Ooh.
Contentious. And finally, Rhino.
Oh, are we going to guess what, Jack?
I think we'll guess right after yours.
Number one, the last horror movie I watched on DVD, because I love horror movies, was Friday the 13th, because it was Friday the 13th recently. So that's what I do. B. My first car that I ever owned was a blue BMW. And the third, when I was a child, I was a vegetarian purely for the fact that I used to chew my meat that my mother fed to me up, and then I would spit it back out onto the plate again.
Ooh.
Mm.
I think the first one that you said is a lie. That you didn't actually watch Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th.
Mm.
Just because this year my birthday was on Friday the 13th, and I've got a good hint about that one.
Ah, okay.
As for what I think yours was, I think it was the last one.
What, you don't think I use a Macintosh?
No.
Yes, I don't think you wear a Mac either.
Well,
what's my lie?
Your lie?
Mm. Did I not watch Friday the 13th on the Friday the 13th?
What was the next one?
Was my first car a blue BMW?
So that would be it. Your first car was not necessarily a blue BMW.
Oh, okay. So are we doing BMW closure thing, or are we getting people to write in?
And now for the answers.
Take it away, Cookie. You were first, so reveal.
Mine was first. Well, you were both wrong.
Ooh!
I did lose my oral virginity at the age of 17. I did, however...
You suck. Ba-boom-tsh.
Exactly. I did actually walk into an adult store without being asked for ID, also when I was 17, not 16.
Ah, slight technicality there.
Ah. But yes.
Jackson.
I actually lied twice.
Ooh. So let's pick the truth.
That I use an ASUS computer, which is not a Macintosh.
Yeah.
And I actually paid around about $30 for the book about abstinence and how it's so great. I should bring it in as my show and tell for the Cubby House.
Yeah, no, don't.
That so would just, be... so, just so we can just...
Abstinence of abstinence would be nice, thank you.
Abstinence of what?
Maybe we could take it to the Westboro Baptist Church and ask for them to sign it. And then burn it.
And yours?
Well, I actually did the same thing as what Jack did. The last DVD I did watch was Friday the 13th, but I didn't watch it on Friday the 13th. So you're sort of half right there. And Cookie, you were right as well, because my first car was a BMW, but it was not actually blue. It was gold. So there you go.
Gold.
However, me, you know, spitting out meat, that I've stopped doing that. I don't do that anymore.
Oh, thankfully.
Yeah.
It's a good
thing.
Do
you suck it though?
Hell yeah. Interesting fact. Maybe I should have put this in my thing. The last, well, second last drinking game that I ever played, because you guys were actually there at the last drinking game I ever played.
Oh, sweet.
As we remember, at Grampians. Photos on eBay.
yeah, eBay. Alcohol
who would buy those photos? It's like, hey people, buy these photographs. This person might have been in politics or in the celebrity game in about 10 years' time.
Exactly.
So get in early.
This person right now thinks that you're hot because they're intoxicated.
See, that's the funny thing about alcohol. It does stuff to memory and other stuff.
So what about this drinking game?
Because there were so many leftover bottles, we started doing what any other normal person would do when they're drunk and horny, and we tested to see who could go down on the bottle further.
As in, we're talking orally?
Yes.
Deep,
Cookie just relieved deep a huge sigh of relief there.
Deep-throating the bottle. Talk about holding your liquor.
Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the lick, really. And I won, so there you go.
And why is that?
Because I don't have a gag reflex.
And why don't you have a gag reflex?
Natural or trained?
Trained.
And what age did you lose your gag reflex?
You know.
Please, please, a master, teach me the way.
Or something.
Teach me the way, teach me the way.
At what age did I lose my gag reflex? Probably about 17.
I've got so much to learn from you.
Teach us the way,
I'll
master.
I'll write a book. God hates uneducated cocksuckers.
How rude, you can't do that.
Thank you, dear. That is such a wonderful thought.
Etiquette.
Okay, Cookie, imagine this.
Okay, done.
I'm at the bar. You know whatever bar. Let's just say that you are in a bar. Let's make it more relevant to your ego.
My ego?
Yes.
Why, thank you. Let's just deflate it from the confines of the walls of this room.
Now that that's gone. So, I was about to talk about body language and how vitally important it is. Because, Cookie, I was in the car with you today, and you pretty much said to me that when it comes to body language, I am retarded. And
how
I mean,
are you retarded, Jack?
That I have about the subtlety of a meat cleaver.
But that's not retardation. That's just, you know, you're as subtle as a rhinoceros on heat. Or as a train smash, or whatever analogy you care to use.
I didn't say it was retarded because...
I went took some creative liberties with it. It's a good story. So when I'm at the pub and I want a short interest with someone, I pretend to yawn like this. Just pretend I've got my arms up and I'm going, and I'll put my hand around the other person's shoulders.
1950s of you.
Very discreet. I'm playing it cool.
In the 1950s.
And then I'd speak to the person, go, hey, how's it going? I like you. Just whisper into the ear nice thoughts. And apparently that's not subtle enough for Cookie. I've got to be a bit more subtle with my vibes.
Is this topic about body language or is it about how we pick up?
Well,
it's a bit of both, actually.
It is a bit about both.
Right.
Because body language, if you know what you're doing with it, you can use it to the best of your advantage without realizing it.
Like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And if you clap your hands... You're using your body language to show the people that you're happy. I get it now.
What's that?
For a 9-year-old,
I think I hear cicadas.
Whatever. Your mum.
So Cookie
that's right. I went there.
Not my mum.
Well, no.
My mother was a saint.
Leave me right alone.
So, Cookie was giving me tips on how to pick up using body language. So...
Ooh, do teach.
Dispense.
Body language for dummies. 101. Go for it.
Okay. Easiest thing is eye contact. If somebody's making eye contact with you on occasion, they're showing some sort of interest.
Well, yeah.
If you're not even talking to them, if you're looking across the room, they make a bit of eye contact, do what they're doing, and it's becoming a bit constant, they're interested.
Yeah.
So you go up to them. You start talking. Irrespective of what you say, your body says about 70% more.
Right.
Than what you're saying. So.
So if you're interested in someone, you stare at them.
Or you could creep them out.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I like you. Let's have a staring competition.
Maybe that's where the subtlety thing comes in. Oh, that eventually you have to look away for some reason.
Yeah.
Otherwise you could be just looking at the bar, looking at the person across the bar with a deathly gaze.
True.
Yeah.
Also known as the fresh meat stare. I coined that term just then.
You went there.
Couple that with a head turn and a stare, you got the complete fresh meat stare. And
like
then
the
if Ryan, you do it, and another person comes along that you find attractive, it would be a fresh meat bear stare. Boom, boom. So beyond looking at the person and maybe contacting them.
Yes. With your eye contact also, be courteous. Don't stare them down to the point of hell. Keep a constant, regular eye contact without... staring. So you're allowed to look away a bit and look at what's going on around you, but don't stare them down. Another point. Keep your chest area open. So don't cross your arms over it. That normally shows that you're either bored or disinterested.
So does that mean, like, if your arm's in a sling, you have to hold it away from you?
I think that if you're already in the sling with a person, you probably don't need to worry so
much
about
it. No, I mean, like, you know, when you're your arm's broken, so it's in a sling.
I'm injured. I'm injured. It speaks for itself. It's irrelevant. You can't do much with it.
And you probably attract more attention going, "Oh, Ryan, how do you do that to yourself? I'm so sorry. How did it happen? I want to hear every gory detail."
True, there you go. And you just be like, "Oh, it was RSI, you know, I masturbated my arm to death," sort of thing.
Yeah. So with your shoulder chest area, keep it open. No need to pout it out. If you do, it seems like a more try hard thing to do. So if you're just going up to somebody, keep your chest relaxed, but keep it open. Keep your arms free. Don't use your arms to close up your body or your hands to close up your body unless you're in your lap, nice and comfortable, nice and open, as you are currently doing with yourself, Ryan.
Well, that's just because I'm an open person.
Yes, but you're showing interest by even having your arms or your hands are tied around your lap. You're interested, but you're comfortable.
You tied my hands to my lap. You do this every time.
Yay.
Just so we can't get out of the dungeon studio.
I know.
So what you've been doing is that you've been identifying pretty much how to look interested and how to look confident.
Yes.
And hopefully the rest of the world will pick up on that.
So, and the other thing is too, there is actually an ad in Australia for a beer product.
Now, I was actually thinking about this ad.
Yes, this actually has a lot of relevance. Your feet sometimes follow where your attention is.
Mm.
So if your feet are pointing directly... a foot at least. A foot is enough to signify what you're pointing your foot towards is what your attention is currently set to.
That's why both my feet are pointing at both of you right now.
Why, thank you.
Aww.
Yeah. And even to the point where your legs, if you're, say, leaning up against a wall...
Or your legs are up in the air, then you've got some sort of interest.
Pretty much if you want to turn everybody away, what do? You close yourself off, you move yourself off into a corner, you don't make eye contact with anyone. And if you do, it's a lonesome eye contact, like a lonely dog looking for food.
Okay.
I don't mean that as a metaphor, although do I?
You're going to get punched out in a minute.
To signify that you're not interested,
mm-hmm.
Close your legs, for starters. Yes.
Legs now.
Keep your leg close quarters. Keep your arms close to your body. If you have to, cross your arms together, right? And basically, don't show a lot of eye contact. The whole idea is they'll get the hint.
If worst comes to worst, move your body elsewhere. Yeah. That's probably good body language.
Yeah.
Now, Cookie, you're talking to me beforehand about sauna body language. And what you were just describing there sounded an awful lot like what you do in that particular context.
Look, most of the time from my experience in saunas, the art of cruising is a non-verbal art. It's 95% body language and 5% maybe a few words exchanged before you agree to go into a room or tell the person that you're not interested. The same can be said for pubs and clubs, which you may not be able to talk too much or you can't hear each other, but just to start intention, maybe walking away somewhere more quiet to talk or things like that. It's a way of signaling to a crowded room that one person that might be looking at you, whether you are interested or not.
Do you have anything to add to that, Ryan?
No. I think we all know basically how to attract people with our body language, but I think probably the only thing that I want to add on is confidence.
Yes.
Is key.
Get people, confident, stupid.
Yeah, exactly. What, God. People like, I'm going to stick that dice up your ass in a minute.
What's the point? I won't feel it.
Well, that's...
Anyway. Let's not go there.
Yeah, anyway, paging new subject. Confidence is key. People don't like people that are, you know, oh, woe is me, or that they just sit in a corner sort of thing. They're attracted to people that laugh a lot and, you know, that are kind of not in the spotlight sort of thing. But they seem to, you know, be funny, or they seem to be charismatic, or, you know, they seem to know themselves.
Hmm.
So it's certainly something that I've picked up that, you know, even if you're having a really crappy night or something, don't show it because nobody really cares. They're not going out on the nightclub scene to go, I wonder who I can listen to bitch and moan about their day all day tonight. They're actually going out there to enjoy themselves. So if you've had a really rough day and you don't want to be around people, don't. Pure and simple.
Could the opposite of that true? Are people repelled by people that are too confident to the point where it might be considered like being a try-hard?
Well, you are very right there, Jack. There is. I've always said that there's a very fine line between confidence and arrogance. And so you are right. There are people that can be perceived as too confident. So you know, if you are one of those people, you do see, sort of need to tone it down a bit. But it's very simple. In a conversation, let the other person speak in something like that, or ask questions about them, because everybody likes to talk about themselves. Everybody's favorite subject is themselves. So if you want to get in, ask them questions about themselves. What about you, Jack?
So, Ryan, you've got to tell me. When I do my yawn and hand over the shoulder trick, is that working in my favor?
I think that if you just walk up to a random and do that immediately, no.
You've
got to put in some sort of groundwork and make sure that like you said, Cookie, you've got to be welcomed into that personal space before just invading it. And by reading the signs that Cookie just mentioned earlier, you will know if that is allowed. You know, I don't suggest that you say to them, you know, I'm not Fred Flintstone, but I can make your bedrock. Because if you did that to me, I'd be like, wow, I have some pepper spray in my pocket.
What about going up to a person that has a Space Invaders shirt and ask, hey, can I invade your space?
Was that crickets I heard? I don't know. It depends on the person's sense of humour. They could be a quiet geek and they wear that because they're trying to invite other gamers over to them. And they could be people that think that's actually an hysterical come on or pick up line. So they will go with it. It depends on the person.
I think the lesson to be learned is, don't use pickup lines.
Has a pickup line ever worked on you, Cookie?
No.
No?
No.
Is that because nobody's ever given you a pickup line? Or
yeah, that. Yeah, that. However, I do have a shirt for those that have already heard it. It says, my name is unimportant unless you want to be screaming in my bed tonight.
Now, subtle.
I wear that as a shirt and it still does nothing. So, no, I don't think pickup lines work in the 21st century.
What about this 21st century pickup line? I go up to Ryan and I shake his hand. He asks what my name is and I say, I'm Google. Are you feeling lucky? Boom, boom.
Well, I think that, like, if it's a good thing you were probably holding my hand because I'd probably want to punch you. The best pickup line I ever heard that I actually went home with the guy because I thought, wow, 10 out of 10 for originality. But that's not the reason why I went home with him. I think I was 22 at the time and he was in his early 40s. So let's just say 41 for argument's sake. And he asked me after a few random questions about myself and a bit of Q&A. He goes, oh, so are you into long division? And I said, what do you mean by long division? And he goes, well, just wondering, you know, do you want to come home with me and see how many times 41 can go into 22?
Boom, boom. There's one place where it might be a bit difficult to send out the right message. I mean, it's probably happened to most people once in a while that you've possibly gone to bed with someone who is not interested. Now, it's, I would argue that it's a lot easier for a woman to fake it. Thank you for that demonstration.
Of being a woman.
But for a man, how does one pull it off? How does a person...
Pardon the pun.
How does a person that's not... That is genuinely not interested try and... Well,
how do,
send
how
off
do we that, fake an orgasm?
No, just how do you... Well, you know, let's just say you're not into the person, you're not getting it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much of a telltale sign, if ever I've seen one. I'll then you say, I left the Viagra at home, please excuse me.
So we're doing a sort of like the movie, you know, he's not that into you, but we're saving it just for the bedroom.
Yeah.
I think that if I went to bed with a guy that I wasn't interested in and I couldn't get it up, I'd probably just spend most of my time making sure that his needs were being met so that he could get off and he could leave and I could go to sleep. That's how I would fix the problem. What about yourself, Cookie?
It's hard to say because although I agree with your thought, I'm a very selfish person in bed.
Well, we all are.
Yeah. Oink, oink, oink.
Yeah. I'm like extremely selfish. As soon as I've had my share, that's it. I couldn't care about the other person. And it's hard to kind of imagine the fact that I obviously wouldn't take anybody to bed that I didn't have some interest in. But a lot of the time, it's just I just want to say that I've been there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel I share a deeper connection with somebody that a relationship isn't quite there, but you know, a good friendship has no boundaries, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd probably try and make the effort, but I dare say by trying, it's obvious that I'm not that into them or not that enthusiastic at the time.
Would you utilize your tool, Mr. Imagination? Pretend that you're in bed with that sinful person, Heath Ledger?
Sorry, I'm too old. What's imagination?
If you couldn't get it up for someone, would you think that they were... Would you imagine that they were somebody else?
No.
No?
No, it hasn't worked for me yet. See, for, personally, it's more about the action than the person for me. If it ain't happening, it just ain't happening.
Now, here is Jack's guide to faking it. First of all, make sure that the lights are on really, really low. If possible, have no light at all. Now, let's just say that I've got some kind of prosthetic that I can use. What you've got to do is that you've got to make sure that it's nice and warm. Right about 37 degrees. Maybe a little bit hotter than that. In short, increase your breathing rate, clench your toes, and grab the sheets in your hands and moan. And that is my presentation.
Bravo, bravo! Does a strap-on have anything to do with it?
Well, yeah, that helps. But make sure it's warmed up. Otherwise, that might be a bit awkward.
Well, it actually does. That would work because you could just say, oh, I'm really into toys, and then you could do something. But then you're sort of stuck because then you don't know how long you use the toy for, you know. But I agree that, you know, faking and moaning and like moaning, for example, is or being verbal, it's one of the biggest giveaways that you're actually enjoying yourself. So you could be lying there in bed, you know, with night vision goggles reading a book, but softly moaning and groaning and saying, oh, baby, baby.
It also gives them a big ego as well. Like, hey, I'm a sexual dynamo. Mm. Woo!
I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I've never been to bed with somebody that I didn't actually find sexually attractive, purely for the fact that I don't know. It would kill me if a guy faked it with me. That would...
It's a little thing
that
called
would deflate my ego.
Pity sex.
Yeah, I don't like pity sex.
See, if I was to do it and I couldn't do it, I'd try something different.
You wouldn't throw the dog a bone?
No.
Pardon the pun?
Yeah.
Ba-boom-tsh.
I literally would try something different, see if they liked, say, you know, rimming or something. Mm-hmm. Something body-related but not to do with the dick.
Well, see, I wanted to say just before that, you know, I haven't been to bed with anybody that I've found attractive. However, I have kissed/snogged a lot of guys that I didn't find sexually attractive. But that's just because I'm a real kiss slut. Mm. If a guy's a good kisser, I don't care how ugly he is or how bad in bed he is. It's not going to happen, but at least we can snog for about half an hour and you can go home and say, hey, that was actually pretty good. I think a really good snog beats bad sex.
Hmm.
Yes, any day. It's a positive outlook.
Yes.
Might not be, yeah, third base or anything, but you made a nice first base.
There you go.
So what are your major options? You can, if you're presented with this situation where you found yourself in bed with someone that you're not comfortable with, you can either have a patching session with them. Mm-hmm. You could get your toys out and pretend. Make sure that's warmed up to 37 degrees centigrade, possibly a little bit warmer.
With lots of lube.
You could always bring a third person in as well, so that, like, then you could sort of have a half-assed attempt to actually get into it, and then halfway through you can sort of just go, oh, I'm just going to the toilet, and then you can go wash the dishes or do something that you actually want to do rather than be involved. So it's a win-win situation. They're still having sex, whereas you're not getting involved.
Well, I suppose the other thing you could do is assume a more of a passive role and make sure that they get what they want, providing that they are more of the dominant disposition, even though top does not necessarily equal dominant. It might have more than one partner, because we at the Cubby House love polyamorous people.
We love everybody.
They're under...
Unless you're a member of Van Cubs.
They're under God's rainbow.
Sorry, which God are we talking about here?
The God that hates Australia.
The final word on faking it / impotence. If you've got some Viagra handy, that could be handy.
If it works.
If you got some handy, that would be handy.
Yes.
It's like a handy ultra towel. This is handy.
But the best prevention is better than cure.
Abstinence. To just say, look, I'm really sorry, but no.
I'm saving myself for my wedding day.
Mm.
And thanks to the marriage reform bill, it's not going to happen for a while soon.
Or you could say, no, I've had my nosebleed. I have to wait another 2 months for my next monthly.
I don't get you. Do I want to know?
Women bleed for a whole week and don't die. Men have nosebleeds every month as well.
Do they?
I don't know. I do. Do you?
No. The last time I had a blood nose was when I got into a punch-up. That was years ago.
Maybe I just need to let off my steam in another way.
You've got too much blood in you.
Awkward. What's coming out in the bear scene in Melbourne?
Coming out country style in Chill Out.
Chill Out. What is a Chill Out?
Chill Out is the country version of Mardi Gras, Midsummer. It's basically just a whole weekend away out in the bush, kind of. Country style, Mardi Gras.
Ironically, it's in a town called Dalesford, which has a very high lesbian population. So it's extremely gay friendly out there. You can do whatever you want. You could practically fuck in Safeway and nobody would say anything. Other than, you know, you might want to buy that lube before you empty the bottle, possibly.
And here's me fisting in aisle 7. Fisting in aisle 7.
Mm, exactly, there you go.
Again with the fisting. Always with the fisting with that person.
Well, you might see like the...
It's like the word association game. Safeway, fisting, carrots... Fisting. Mother Teresa, fisting. Westboro Baptist Church, fisting. Van Cubs, fisting. Two facts and a lie, fisting.
We can't say the other word. Fucking.
Oh, that word.
No, the other word. The other F word.
So when is Chill Out?
Chill Out is actually, is it this weekend?
No, it is the first weekend in March, first full weekend, 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th, which is also public holiday on the Monday, so thus making it a full long weekend.
Mm.
Saddest thing is this year, Mardi Gras is also running on, or closing on the same weekend.
That is true.
So one of us will be up in Sydney.
Well, I know that it won't be me because I will be on the Vic Bears table being a member of the Vic Bears committee.
And I know that I don't have any means of getting to Dalesford or Sydney. So
it must I should
watch I'm probably going to be watching Degrassi Junior High.
Yay.
Instead of going to these fag events which are going get yourself burnt.
Well, God hates.
Yeah, I know. Should become one of the bushfires of the fag generation. Yeah, sure.
No, the only thing flaming in Dalesford will probably be the Queens.
Well, we usually are.
Yeah. Mm. And Oxford Street's always flaming with Queens in Sydney, so, you know, just join the regular bushfire of Sydney.
Now, it's my understanding that it's an annual tradition at the Chill Out Festival that you've got a tug of war, lesbians against the gay men. And I know that at least last year the lesbians won. Maybe they had a few motorbikes in to help them.
But they're dogs.
And their dogs. Yeah, get involved. Because if I were up there, I'd want to participate.
Yeah, apparently all the bears are the best as anchors.
True. Well, I actually personally will be looking forward to seeing the blow waves there. which they are hosting it. They're a band.
Woo! And what do they sing? Songs.
Well, yes, exactly. They do these wonderful little artifacts called songs on albums and CDs. No, I think their debut single was called Little Bitch. If you remember a band called the Mavises.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Yes.
Hit song Cry.
There you go. They actually made up a lot of members of that. So I will be looking forward to seeing them live.
What about some shout outs to our wonderful listeners who do constantly say that they are listening? First of all, to a wonderful guy who we'd never expect to listen, but he does, and he apparently enjoys it, which surprised even us. And that is a guy by the name of Michael D. So, hello, Michael. Nice to know that you are listening and that you do enjoy it. It's great to know that you let us know. Thank you.
Also, I believe it is Paul from the UK who constantly sends us his emails.
Now, he's actually, although he has written a script like Epic, once again, mainly to give us his impression of our flag system. He would like to say he has some bad news and some good news for us. The bad news is that he's been listening to other podcasts. The good news is that they are mostly poor quality, self-indulgent rubbish. So he'll be sticking with us. And in short, the technical quality and fun chemistry between us makes the podcast worth listening to. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you very much, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Let's make us warm and fuzzy.
There you go, fan cubs. We're not rubbish. And we have an email to prove it.
And a website. And we've got hordes of people that we employ to say that we're good.
Exactly.
I'm in volunteer.
Mm. And so. I just want to do a little shout out to go back to do a full circle and talk about a subject that we started off with. Do a little shout out to all the wonderful people that are helping out with the bushfires, who are donating their time, their money, their clothes off their own back, furniture, all that sort of stuff to help out other people in need. And especially people that adopted dogs that had escaped, or that their owners or their houses had been lost in the fire. Lots of people out there have actually been adopting pets and dogs and cats, and I think that good on them.
Even though we've been making a few off-colour jokes about the bushfires, we just need to reiterate that it is actually a very serious thing, that it has affected a lot of lives, and we don't usually do this, but if you want to contribute in your own way, there's always www.redcross.org.au. They're accepting fiscal donations at the moment, but also they're looking out for people that can donate accommodation, because there's a lot of people and every little bit helps.
Of course, you can always... I believe that there actually is a bushfire relief album that people can purchase, and all proceeds from that go towards the Red Cross or to those people in need.
So until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Ryan.
And Cookie.
And thanks for listening. Stay tuned to this feed. We'll be back soon.
But we're not fan clubs. Sober.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.